Album Concept Hour. The Album Concept Hour. It's the Album Concept Hour.
Welcome, everybody, to the Album Concept Hour, the podcast where you hear us talking about concept albums. And we have another one for you. Like we said last week, it is another Erykah Badu Day. And we are going to cover
Erykah
the second.
Badu Day Part 2.
Part 2, yeah. New
part
America
two
Part 2, Return of the Ankh, for anyone that's listening to these in order. But yeah, I'm really excited to get into this one. This one is, whereas the first one was more of her left brain, she said, with more of the, you know, analytical, informational stuff to talk about issues in the Black community. This one is more about her relationships and her personal life and all that. So those are kind of the two concepts we're working with over these two albums. But, oh yeah, my name is Brad, and I'm the host of the podcast, of course, as always. And then we have John here. What's going on, John?
Just chilling, man.
And what's going on, Dave?
Hello.
Welcome, welcome. And yeah, so Dave should know pretty much everything about this album, as he covered it last week as well. So,
by accident.
We'll probably just let you lead the conversation.
I mean, I just listened to, I don't know, the deets.
Yeah. But
it was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been listening to them both like a lot in the last couple of days, just kind of back to back, to kind of see if I can get the feel for the full New America experience, you know. But yeah, before we get into actually talking about Return of the Ankh, I thought I'd bring back this older segment that we haven't done in a while, to get to a couple of facts that I missed last episode. Which I've noticed is kind of my thing when it comes to part twos. A lot of the time I've noticed that like there's always something that I miss in the part one, you know. I don't know if
that
I just get lazy
like,
with,
oh, this makes more sense, or like, yeah, something pops up now.
Yeah Prime example probably being the wall. I think the wall, there was like a lot of corrections that we made in retrospect. But yeah, here's the theme. All right. So here's a little bit of what I missed last time on the podcast. So I'm just going to, you know, barrel through these. First of all, a big part of the concept of the whole thing is that all of this kind of was started because Questlove gave Erykah Badu a computer that had GarageBand on it and everything. So she was able to start recording from home and connecting with other producers online and having these conversations and trading like samples and stuff. She was able to, you know, record vocals and do random things while she was taking care of her kids and all that. So that's like part of the inception of the whole
good job Quest
operation. Yeah. One thing that she really wanted to do was expose talented underground producers, which is why we have Madlib, Ninth Wonder,
back
know,
in 2010.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like before their kind of era that we kind of know them for more, you know. She was trying to expose these talented producers. Another thing is there's a lot of tape machines and things used in the studio to make it sound authentic, which I always enjoy. Shafiq Hussein, who is one of the producers that we talked about a little bit last episode, was the only person that she let contribute lyrics to these albums. So I guess their vibe just connected in that way. And then the last thing I have here is that for the Dilla song, there's actually like a backstory to it a little bit. There's a line where, you know, they mention him seeing Old Dirty Bastard for some reason, and that's because he had a dream before he passed that of ODB telling him that it was his turn to get on the bus, and so there was somewhat of a prophetic dream he had before he passed that J Dilla's mother shared with you know, Erykah Badu and the rest of his friends. And the song Telephone was made all in one go after the funeral. So it was one of those things where like they kind of just kind of poured all their feelings for J Dilla into that writing session. So yeah, just a few things that I missed while doing research this week. I want to make right with you guys. So yeah. Thank you, Will Smith. And for the rest of the podcast, we're going to be talking exclusively about New America Part 2, Return of the Ankh. And like I was saying, this is her right brain version of things, where it's more about her relationships and her self and her experience kind of growing and changing as a person and all that. So this one's going to be more about Erykah Badu in general. So, yeah, really excited to jump into this. And the first track we got for you guys is called 20 Feet Tall. Here's a little bit of that.
My love, what did I do to make you fall so far from me?
So I don't know if you could hear that in the mix a little bit, but you can kind of hear the, like, I don't know if it's the office chair that she's on or what, but you can hear a bit of the squeaking of the chair in the recording of this, which makes sense because from what I read, she really liked to, you know, she's more of a live performer. And so when she's in studio, she likes to move around and such. So, yeah, apparently there was a couple different setups that they had in the, you know, the vocal booth. Sometimes there would be two speakers kind of pointed at each other and she'd have to sit in a particular spot, but often she would get out of that spot. So, yeah, I think it's cool that you can hear a little bit of that.
Just studio noise.
Yeah, yeah, studio noise. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She would have loved Prince's house because this entire place is mic'd for sound, so he could like wherever he wanted to. So she could just walk around and like, no, just keep.
Sometimes inspiration hits you when you're on your way from the bathroom to the living room. You
know? Yeah, right. Exactly. Prince knew what was up.
And in the kitchen. Like,
I wonder if that did happen at some point. You know, he did have, you know, a lot of people. He hung out with a lot of people. So
he did.
And she would have been around during some of that time period. So.
And they passed crust.
Yeah, if there's anything out there about that, let us know. 1608 Hit Nerd. I haven't heard anything, but you know, Janelle Monáe is the one that I know that is kind of closer to Prince in that way. But yeah, she starts off this album with the concept kind of wondering what has gone wrong in previous relationships. In this one, she's got someone that has built a wall that's 20 feet tall that, you know, obviously, you know, with emotional stuff, you
probably
build walls sometimes.
Probably pink.
It was probably pink. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, are you talking about pink?
From the wall.
Okay. Sorry. For a second, I thought you were talking about pink.
The artist.
The artist pink. Yeah. 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 And I was confused. Yeah, I guess at this point, she is either currently dating Jay Electronica or has just recently ended dating Jay Electronica. I can't tell exactly the timeline there. She's dealing with, you know, she's asking those kind of personal questions to herself, like, what went wrong? You know, why? You know,
like when the relationship ends, you spend like the next like few nights, evenings, that week, you're just like, what the fuck? And you're just trying to like figure a lot of that shit out. What's going on?
And I mean, I think it might be about Jay Electronica just because they were together for like 5 years and, you know, kind of, I think they live together too. And there's a few tracks where it's kind of getting to that, like, feeling of, unreciprocated, love or unreciprocated attention, you know, that comes when you're in a long-term relationship like that, you know? So yeah, you know, she's really bearing herself here, with, the first track with, you know, just kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Like, you know, the line in the second verse, "My love, what did I do to make you fall so far from me?" And I like the imagery here at the end, because she says, "Then you built a wall, a 20-foot wall, so I couldn't see. But if I get off my knees, I might recall that I'm 20 feet tall." So she's thinking that maybe she can look over this wall and see what's actually going on. And
I do like the line above
Jay Electronica's head.
Cause of the false selective memory, like,
because
I think, you know, any sort of struggling relationship or the one that's ended, like, everyone has, like, things they remember, like, differently, or just, like, they focus on, like, you fucked this up, like, but wasn't that bad? Like, I don't remember, like, anything.
Yeah,
just, like,
yeah.
Just, like, you really pick out, like, certain things and
like,
highlight on that.
A lot of times the, like, argument you're having isn't about the thing you're arguing about. It's about a million other things that are stacking up, you know? And, yeah, I like how, you know, how upfront she is about this. Especially being in the spotlight, knowing that everybody knows who she's dated, you know, it's like part of something, you know, she can't quite control in her life at this point, that she's a, you know, a public figure. So yeah, it's cool to get a peek behind the curtain of how this goes. And then, I mean, kind of speaking of that, that kind of transitions into the second track a little bit, because for Window Seat, my reading of this song is that it's kind of about her relationship with her fans. So here's a bit of Window Seat.
If anybody's beat the sky, they tell them beam me up. So can I get a window seat? Hey. Don't want nobody next to me. I just want a ticket out of town.
And you know I had to pick that clip because she references Scotty, and I'm a big Trek head, you know. But this one, I say that it's about her and her relationship with her fans, because in the song, she's like talking about how she wants to fly away basically from her situation, whatever that may be, and just kind of be alone and to herself. But there's also the section where she says in post hook two, but I need you to miss me. I need somebody, come get me. I need your attention. Yes, I need your energy. I do. Oh, I need someone to clap for me. So it's like kind of getting into her whole, you know, the kind of like, how do I want to put this?
Self-validation.
There's like, well, there's like this kind of antagonistic relationship that an artist has with the
partner,
the fans. I think most artists experience this to some degree, where it's like, they want to be able to be kind of on their own and alone and anonymous in a way. But due to the nature of what they're doing, having like music that gets around as far as it does, like it, I don't know, it kind of becomes impossible.
Well, it's where the term like good, like all publicity is good publicity. You know? Like, you don't want it, but you live for it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen a lot of stand-up comedians talk about it, you know, where they're like, oh, you go out there and they're laughing for you and with you, like that just feeds your ego.
Yeah.
And you just, then you go. But when you go out there and you get booed and you're just not feeling an audience that night, that's when you hiccup, you mistake, and you just, you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you realize you need their approval.
Yeah.
Their applause.
Yeah.
Them going,
like it does mean something, you know?
But also like on like the scales, you like progress and get like more famous, you sell out, you play a big event, you have like the bigger base. So like when you start out, it's not that bad. Like you have like a small group, maybe someone randomly caught you a show, maybe even a small following, maybe like people like your like EP or that first album. Mm-hmm. But as you like, as the years pass on, and then you're not playing little tiny clubs, now you're playing like maybe like slightly bigger venues, like 500, 700 seats. Yeah. And now, and then you start getting higher and higher, you start doing stadium tours. Exactly.
Yeah.
And now you have like your fan is like exponentially blowing up like the base. And you have like how many, and it doesn't take long for you to do like a flaw. Then you have like, and there, where we're at now with like social media, like it's just like under a microscope, and you nonstop people can just like just attack you for no reason, or just maybe had a slightly off show, but no big deal. But then all of a sudden it's just like, just everyone has like the, just jab their opinion.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah, everyone has to share their critique of your work.
You have actors, musicians. You're on the two sides. You just like, you don't pay attention to it. You just like, I don't give a shit, because it's at this point it's mostly just nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Or there are people that just like they have to like know, or have to like feedback, or they have to like dig into it, and like I don't know. It's, that would be just insane. Like have like, you go from work and all of a sudden like nonstop, just posts about you doing like shit. Like,
That'd
be stressful as hell, man.
Yeah. I think if I was at a level of popularity like that, I would probably just shut off social media and not be on it at all. You know, just
enjoy your life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's gotta fucking suck. But you know, in a way, like it sucks, but it doesn't, you know, cause it's like,
it's the give and take.
You know, it's the give and take of that industry and that, you know, creating art that gets out to
hopefully if you're like
millions.
Just a cool musician, or like, I mean, I think there are some that also ride that wave too, where they actually have a decent fan base and no one like really gets up in arms. Like they just like,
I feel like Thundercat mostly is kind of at that.
There are a lot of people
space.
That kind of,
there are some people that are starting to talk shit about Thundercat and how he's kind of, does the same thing or something, but you know, I think that's just a sign of his popularity is
for
risen
sure.
enough to for people to do that. Do you guys know about the music video for this?
I did not know.
So
I did not know there was a music video.
This music video is the infamous music video by Erykah Badu, where she strips naked in Dallas, Texas. Right at the square where JFK was assassinated.
All right.
The music video, I don't know how well it like lines up with the lyrics on the song, but the music video kind of took a meaning of like, you know, expressing yourself and being laid bare to the world and all that. It was inspired by a Matt and Kim music video where they do a similar thing in New York. In this one, she's kind of trying to get into a theme of like, you know, people, don't like what they don't understand, and they don't like, you know, things that go outside of the box too much. And, at the end of the music video, there's this kind of little speech here. They play it safe, are quick to assassinate what they do not understand. They move in packs, ingesting more and more fear with every act of hate on one another. They feel most comfortable in groups, less guilt to swallow. They are us. This is what we have become. Afraid to respect the individual. A single person within a circumstance can move one to change, to love herself, to evolve. But yeah, the music video ends with her basically like, falling down as if she was
shot
and assassinated at the very end.
From the book depository?
Yeah. From the grassy knoll, maybe.
Yes.
One of those two places.
The second gunman.
Yeah. But the music, like she got, you know, fined by the city. She got, you know, disorderly conduct, or was it disorderly conduct? I forget what the exact charge was. But, you know, there was, there's kids and families around and stuff, and she doesn't actually deride the Dallas, like, people for finding her for that. She actually doesn't, she doesn't, like, think that they were in error or whatever doing that. She's like, that's fine, I will pay the fine, it was an art piece, you know. It's just because she didn't get, like, permits and all that. But,
Because if she tried, they wouldn't probably give her the permits anymore.
Probably not. I know. Yeah, probably not.
So there's only one way to go about it anyways. Go rogue.
You gotta go rogue. You gotta go rogue. It was done in one shot too, you know. It was just like
they had it ready, they had practiced their what they're gonna do, and they're just like, oh, let's go.
But she does say that she was really like afraid to do it. Like she was,
I would imagine so.
You know, but it was also like stripping away her layers was also very freeing in a way. So this one's the infamous music video of her music videos. For the next track we get into a song called Agitation, which has some of my favorite production in the album. Finna pull this thing out. God, there's so much going on in that spot, man. Like,
this is where it was starting to really like kick in. I mean, you had a little bit of vibe, but by the time you get to track three, like that's super like Stevie Wonder funkiness, like that
weird.
It has a lot of that like vibes.
Yeah.
Kind of in this album, like just kind of splashed in throughout it.
Yeah. Let me see if I could see who is doing piano in this one. Looks like, that must be a sample of Just As I Thought by David Sanctius. But yeah, the piano playing on that's really cool.
It's like almost Herbie Hancock, just some really just weird like.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's what I couldn't
free
play.
Jazz yeah. stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I like the you got the pull this thing out.
Yeah, there, so you know. She says, "Finna pull this thing out," but it sounds a lot like "Finna pull his thing out." So it's one of those, you know,
the interpretation's up to you, folks.
Tomato, tomato,
tomato, tomato. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gonna pull some kind of thing out.
She's finna pull this thing out, guys.
Sometimes you gotta.
And I'm not exactly sure. Like this song has very little context. It says, "What a day, what a day, what a day, going through a thing now, finna pull this thing out." But it's against the law. It's against the law. Maybe she's talking about a gun.
Maybe she's talking about his Glock.
Maybe she's talking about a Glock of some kind. Oh, his thing, his shooting thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or public urination.
He could be about to publicly urinate.
I mean, if you're into the Chargers, gotta go big.
Gotta go big or go home. But yeah, this one's really short, short and sweet. It's called Agitation, and like I think it's just like the erraticness of the production,
like panicky almost. Like maybe worried about like what's happening when he pulls it out.
Yeah, yeah. This one's more of a vibe than a full concept, if you will. You know.
And the vibe is good.
This is definitely one of my favorite. Like,
it's a great track, and you picked a good portion. I gotta hand that to you.
Thank you. I want to shout out one person that's involved in a lot of this album and the last album that I noticed. This guy Mike Chavaria. He does a lot of the programming stuff, but also sometimes plays the synthesizer in some songs and. Yeah, I've just really noticed that like the drums and synth for New America Part 2 is just, I don't know if I wasn't listening for that in New America Part 1, but it is all really good in New America Part 2. So I really appreciated that. And then we get into this track called Turn Me Away, in parentheses, Get Money. Yeah. So again, going with the theme of like relationships in general, this song feels like it's the her relationship with money, you know. Window seat with her fans, agitation, maybe her relationship with herself, maybe, I don't know. And then this one is all about money. Money, I want you bad. Give me some, I'll be the one backstage, because money, I want you bad. Oh yeah, I'll wait on your doorstep till you let me come in. Hey, I'll be your best friend. Say money, can you come out and play? I'll stay or come back, because money, I want you bad. Fresher than the others. I'll cook like your mother. I'll bring you the honey. Just bring the money. Fingers crossed behind my back. Because money, I want you bad. So yeah, kind of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, love song for money in general, you know?
Yeah, I want your money.
I want your money. I want your money. Oh, wait, isn't that... That's in a Kendrick song, I think. No. And the Kendrick song is like, I want your body. I want your body. Anyway. Also, at the end of this track, there's references to the... There's a reference to the Kanye song, Gold Digger. She says, because I ain't saying I'm a gold digger. I ain't messing with the broke. And I love the jab at Thundercat here at the end. It says, do you have that number of the other bass player? And this one's got Thundercat playing bass in it. So like she's obviously like, you know, being like, hey,
joking with him.
Get this guy out of here. We need a new bass player in here when you have like the best bass player around, you know. Yeah, it's a fun track sampling Sylvia Striplin's You Can't Turn Me Away, and it interpolates a Notorious B.I.G. track as well. So yeah, she seems to be a big Notorious B.I.G. fan, because I think I saw a couple Notorious Big samples or interpolations when I was doing research on it. Yeah, it's so funky, it's so like makes you want to move and just...
This whole album has just that really super, like, drippy, funky...
Yeah.
So, like, the one comment I want, I'll probably make over and over, but, like, I'll try not to, like, listen to this again, like, even today. Like, these are, like, the sounds that I'm just always looking for. It's just... Between her voice, like, the beat, like, it's just perfect. I think it's just... It meshes so well together. I love, like, the funkiness of it, like...
Yeah,
everything.
You really hear it really well in the earphones too, like everything.
Yeah, really good earphone
going album. Right between your, you know, like both headphones all the time.
Yeah, the production is excellent. I was listening to The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill again today, and like that one, of course, is amazing, stone cold classic or whatever. Sure. But there's less of that kind of feel good soul part of it, I guess, you know, like with this track, especially, like you can sense that, you know, Erykah Badu is just having fun in the studio and just having fun writing in general. You know, especially with this, the outro bit where she's joking around. Yeah, I don't know. Two very different animals though. These two albums.
It also had a lot of like just 90s feel too. As I was listening, I could almost hear like a TLC song about to break out a couple times. Like it just had like a very like just the tone. I don't know. This is a fantastic album. I'd probably be looking for a copy of it probably on vinyl soon.
I'm definitely gonna be looking. Like all of her albums are good.
Yes,
like, I've heard.
They're just.
I think the only one I haven't heard is the mixtape from 2013 or so, I forget when it is, but yeah, she you know, it's hard to have a whole discography where like every album is like pretty solid, you know. But yeah, this next track we got for you guys is Gone Baby Don't Be Long, and this one is actually part three of a three-part series of songs involving a girl that is in love with a hustler. So here is Gone Baby Don't Be Long.
Baby, don't be long.
the ooze in the background. I just noticed that. Like just a little bit in the mix, you know, just laying the background and groundwork for the rest of it.
It's funny how just like if you take a note out of the song change, like there's certain like just something in the background, just enough to connect something to like make it like mm-hmm. a little bridge.
Yeah.
Make the whole sound just like.
Yeah.
And I think that's the albums and songs I like when like maybe the second, third listen through, you're just hearing, maybe you're focused a little bit more, maybe like better stereo or maybe your headphones or something that mm-hmm. you just, something just clicks like, what is that? And you want to rewind again, like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know what I'd do without like production notes. You know what I mean? Cause like, and I would just be wondering like, where is that? What did it come from? You know? That's why like the Beastie Boys album we did was like somewhat frustrating just because like there's so many samples that are not officially listed, no. You know? So there was a lot, like I definitely, there was like some things that I like kind of went unknown from that one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Things happened.
Yeah. Things happened.
Went off.
Yeah. They really went off.
Went
with
off
those samples.
The rails.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think it was like even Ad Rock saying, like, you know, we're doing 2-3 samples, like 4, just cutting in and out. Is like just, they were going nuts on that album, just exploring the possibility of like, playing around with the computer, just like going nuts. Like,
and honestly, they're the only ones that know all the samples that are there. You know, they're the only ones that know. But yeah, so like I said, this is part 3 of 3 tracks. The first one was called Other Side of the Game, which kind of it's on in Baduism, and it kind of focuses on, you know, being the girlfriend of someone that is involved in hustling and you know, working on the street and stuff, and kind of the worry that comes with that, you know, like, what are you going to do when they come for you? She references in that, that song. And then the second
bad
song,
boy, bad boy,
which is in, I want to say Mama's Gun, is called, Danger. And in that one, it seems like the hustler is in jail at the time, and she's kind of running the show and like running the streets and kind of learning to like it a little bit, it seems. And then this one, it seems like it's kind of gotten back to just, you know, I've accepted this part of your life, and just go, just don't be long, you know, just come back,
do your thing.
I believe in you, you know? And yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like cool, the like progression that occurs through the 3 songs.
Hey, you do you.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, this is definitely more of a, you know, positive view on a relationship than some of the other ones. I don't know. It kind of makes sense, I guess, too, though, because it's a fictional one, and you know, she's not doing well with relationships as she's seeing it, and this one is going well in her mind. I don't know. There's something there.
1 out of 10.
Yeah. Let's see. There's only one thing I'm still asking. Why is it I feel you masking? If this is love you feel really, and I know you got your hustle on. Okay. You laugh when I ask, baby, what's the rush? When we touch, want to know if it's love or lust, because I feel like a girl with a fiendish crush, and I know you got to get your hustle on. So I guess it's not all paradise with these guys. There's still questions in the relationship. But when isn't there, you know? You go in waves and ups and downs and stuff. But, yeah, the next clip we have for you, I have actually broken into 2 clips, because this one, I wanted to share some of the, well, we heard it a little bit in the first album, where there's like a few like kind of radio-y bits in between, you know, and like a static sound to signify like changing station. Yeah, so this one is the intro bit that kind of connects number 5 and number 6 a little bit. So
sometimes I let you feel it, I
Yeah, yeah, and then it goes right into the song. It's called Hmm. It's hard to say without singing it. Hmm. But that's the name of the song.
Hmm.
But yeah, yeah, I mean, a lot of that sample, though, is just Take Some Time by Dugu and the Chocolate Jam Camp.
That's a great name for a band.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet it's that's a 70s fucking fantastic band.
They're just killer live.
Yeah, yeah.
I was saying, I bet they have like
cool outfit, cool big outfits.
Oh, probably matching.
Yeah,
outfits.
I was just watching a video about early hip hop transitioning into like late '80s and nineties, and like you know, that was one of the major shifts was like the aesthetic and dropping the kind of more dancier like big
yep.
like you know, dancing around on stage and choreographs dance with big, you know, pants.
A big,
yeah,
hey, big into the,
you, yeah. It was
shot, you don't stop. A big,
they were talking about play and
kid and play,
kid and play, play. Kid and yeah. play. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's mainly what this video haircuts. Was about. Yeah, yeah. Had the giant top, like yeah. flat top. I never knew that those guys were. Thing at all,
yeah.
honestly, until I watched this video.
Until you watched the, how about the movies? House Party?
House Party, one, two, and three. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No idea they
existed.
I think
one actually had like TLC before they were like real. I think when they were just breaking out. Like,
yeah, they were yeah. very they, young. They were in the movie. Yeah. Oh, like, I
well, I know
that.
They palled around with Salt and Pepa. Yeah. Was it them, maybe?
No, it was TLC.
It was,
in
yeah,
there too?
Yeah, TLC okay. was
okay.
in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
They were trying to.
There's a lot of cameos in that first one.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, but yeah, there's like you know, this song definitely harkens back to that age of like big flair and big outfits and
oh, yes.
and really, you know, putting on a show. And yeah, this sample really does kind of is kind of the main part of this song. Is Mad Lib on production? And I'm just saying the name of the song.
Take the track.
And then oh yeah, that's right. We haven't played the actual track yet. Here's the rest of the track. I like that she's doing like a duet with the sample, you know. It's she's taking the sample and making it something new.
Part of the
know?
Song, almost.
Yeah, yeah. Big part of the song, and yeah, yeah. Really, you know, again, production is. There's nothing bad we can say about the production, honestly, with these whole two albums, because these are some of the best in the game doing it. A
great team working on it.
Mm-hmm. This one. Seems to be kind of about like letting your feelings flow and kind of, I don't know, the challenge in sharing your emotions with your partner, maybe. I don't know. Like there's a kind of a theme of like, you can't hide your feelings away and you need to share them.
You can try, it never ends well. I mean, yeah. If you try not to, it doesn't end.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's something that maybe she dealt with a few of her partners, like not feeling that kind of, I don't know, passion that she thought was necessary to make that relationship work, or at least not getting the reciprocation for those feelings. And yeah, I don't know if that's it's. I think that some of that is on her, you know, and some of it's on the person that she's talking about.
Relationships are messy.
But yeah, yeah. Definitely.
But,
yeah.
You know, everyone's feelings are valid, though, in the relationship as well.
Yeah. Well, and her and, you know, like we said last time, her and her exes are still tight, most of them. Jay Electronica is probably the subject of most of what's going on here, and they're still good friends. Yeah. I saw in the Breakfast Club interview, Jay Electronica comes into the room and starts to, you know, make jokes with Erica. He tells them that if they disrespect her in any way, like, he's going to come after them for, you know, messing with the mother of his child. So he's he was telling that to who is it that runs the Breakfast Club? I can't remember it off the top of my head either. But
Charlemagne the God.
That's right. So yeah, he was basically telling Charlemagne the God, like, don't you disrespect her on the show, because she is the mother of my child.
Yeah,
you
know? he's been known to say a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Jay Electronica is still really great friends, and I think that maybe they just found out that they were better friends than lovers, I think, at the end of the day. But yeah, we got another track for you guys. Track 7, and then we'll probably get into our break. This track, I also have another intro bit, because there's, you know, some of, so okay. The one issue I think I have with these albums is that it kind of feels like the album cover for the first one should be the one for the second one, and vice versa. Because in the first one, she's very, you know, natural, and it's got, you know, all of her friends in her hair and all that, you know, stuff. And the second one, she's like a cyborg.
Yes.
Whereas, like, I feel like this is the album where she's more herself or whatever, and then the other one is more like, I don't know, a persona that she's putting on or something. I don't like
it, you get from, because this is more like relationship kind of, yeah, feelings. You want to like have that vibe, that, yeah, that picture you're looking at.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like it should be just the opposite as far as the covers go. I don't know, but this intro bit here has a little bit of the robot voice in it. So it's like the one instance, or there's like maybe one or two instances of an actual like cyborg or robot-y kind of
Deltron
thing going on. Yeah, it's nowhere near the level of concept Deltron put into it, you know. But yeah, here's a little bit of Love, and then I'll play the actual clip.
Our emotions have a vibratory frequency to them. There are only two emotions that humankind experience: fear and love. All other emotions branch either directly or indirectly from these two emotions. Fear has a long and slow frequency vibration to it, while love has a very rapid and high frequency.
So yeah, there's like a robot talking about frequencies in your brain. Don't really fully, I don't know. I haven't really looked into the frequencies of things, but I don't know. It's a very strange sentiment.
Maybe we should.
And then here is the track Love. Yeah, that one's another one with like really, really funky, smooth production for sure. Laid back. Mind on my money and my money on my mind. Oh, and she has, this one, she says at the beginning, this one is for Dilla, kind of referencing a line from the previous album in Telephone, but not Telephone, it was a different track. But this one is a J. Dilla production. This is actually some stuff left on the table. I'm assuming it's something that was discovered after the funeral, because there's that story about them kind of going through
Lava's work,
some of his work that was unreleased. And yeah, the you can really tell it's J. Dilla, because the production's fucking, you know, masterful, you know. Let me see who's also involved with this track. Yeah, here we go. We got Mike Chavaria on synthesizer. Every track that has him on synthesizer is excellent synthesizer. And then it contains portions of Take Me by Fabulous Souls as well. So.
Man, maybe we should do some Dilla at some point, do some donuts or.
We really
some
should cover really, Dilla.
It's a crazy concept.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and the story in general is just, you know, so important to hip hop, you know? But yeah, it's, this one's just kind of a standard love song a little bit. I love the way that she sings this, by the way. She's got such a range of like ways that she, you know, sings throughout both albums. And yeah, this is one where it's like, it's almost like she's being almost, I'm not thinking of the right word for it, but like loose and lackadaisical with the delivery of it. Yeah. But yeah, thought I fell in love with Superman's true. Kryptonite can't make you come up off that thing. Baby, I'm about to go insane. I don't know, maybe this is talking about like a kind of a hero worship of the person that you're dating a little bit, you know, thought I fell in love with Superman, which is kind of, I don't know, a standard that cannot be delivered on with a partner, you know,
you put them so high up that,
yeah. Yeah. I think that
he's the best. Oh my God, you're going to love him.
Yeah. Yeah. He fixes everything that's ever happened in my life. And it makes literally everything better. Which is like, I hope that is something that happens out there. But I think most of the time, you're not a Superman, you know, and none of us are. So
maybe a Jimmy Olsen.
What?
Maybe just a Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's who you can settle with, honestly. Oh, yeah. So Jimmy Olsen is someone solid that you can bring home to your parents. You know, he's reliable. You know, except for in that Superman, Batman v Superman movie where he gets murked immediately.
No, I'm not familiar with that, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy that they killed place. Jimmy Olsen in that film. What were you going to say, John?
The Nolan universe was a dark universe.
Oh, that was Snyder. Snyder.
Well, that was Snyder. Snyder. I'm sorry. You're right.
But
right,
it was
right,
it
right.
was somewhat built off of the Nolan verse.
But
a
no,
little
no,
bit.
No. Yeah,
they wanted to be the Nolan verse.
I meant the Snyder verse. The Snyder verse was a dark.
Yeah.
Dark.
Yeah.
Did he die in slow mo?
Ways.
I'm. You know. Zack I don't Snyder. Know. I don't know. I'm gonna have to rewatch Batman v Superman now. So
Zack Snyder in the writing room.
Jimmy,
so I love that scene.
This character that we all love.
Gee Willikers.
Slow mo.
Gee Willikers.
Gotta be slow mo.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna take a quick break before we get into the last four tracks for you guys. We got another. Well, we have a triple track coming up because track 11 has got four movements in it.
Triple so double.
I'm really excited to get into those parts, but we'll see you on the other half of this break.
The Album Concept Hour.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Album Concept Hour. We have some tracks left for you guys, and we're gonna listen to them and we're gonna talk about them like we always do. So, yeah, without further ado. Let's get into, oh yeah, this track. So this is, I don't know if you remember this one. This one's kind of a just funny track. I think they just like, I think she just ad-libbed this in the studio, but here's some of You Loving Me.
You loving me, and I'm drinking your gin. You loving me, and I'm fucking your friends. You loving me, and I'm driving your Benz. You loving me, and I'm spending your inch. And I'm fucking your gin. You love me. And I'm fucking your friends. You love me. That's terrible, isn't it?
So I'm drinking your gin line. Kill me every time she dropped in my. I'm sitting just laughing my ass off.
Yeah, she's like just saying all of the worst like qualities of a partner or whatever.
Then you're loving me.
and I'm fucking your friends.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Like I feel like it's so much better with that attached to it, you know. Otherwise, people might think it's genuine, you know. But it's a fun like in between track. That's what I mean when I say like she really sounds like she is enjoying her time in the studio, and you can really feel that. You love me, I'm driving your Benz, I'm spending your ends, I'm drinking your gin, I'm fucking your friends. Like, yeah. Just inappropriate.
Nice little in-betweener.
Yeah. Nice, like, I'm glad that it's included, you know? Because I think that it was kind of like, just like a prelude to this next track, Fall in Love, parentheses, Your Funeral. Because that's kind of some of the kind of subject matter for this section. Here's a bit of that. Fall in Love, in parentheses, Your Funeral. Yeah, it's another one that's got Mike Chavaria on the synthesizer, and I just love the bling, 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 just bling,
filling all bling. Those little holes with some magic.
Yeah, really, really good at just adding to a track, you know.
Is he ad-libbing some Mad Libs?
He's ad-libbing some Mad Libs. Although this one's not got production by Mad Libs. This one's got Kerium Riggins for production on this one. Who I don't know much about. It contains a sample of Intimate Friends by Eddie Kendricks. And,
Well, Temptation fame, Eddie Kendricks.
Oh, is he from Temptations? Yes. Okay.
He was the high nice. Boy. He was the like tenor, I think that is.
Okay. Nice. Nice connection. I was saying this is kind of connected to the previous track, because like this song is kind of about the thing that a lot of people talk about with her, which is like, oh, she's a dangerous person to date. She'll, you know, she ruins her lover's careers and stuff like that. The kind of toxic stuff that is said about her.
Fuck you up.
Say that Andre 3000 does just fine.
He's fine. Yeah, he's living his life. You know, he might not be rapping so much, but you know, he's fluting around,
doing just fine.
Yeah,
well dressed man.
Yeah. It's the Fall in Love, Your Funeral is kind of like, you know, saying like, well, she's saying you don't want to fall in love with me. And then in the bridge, she says, you better get away from here, hon. You're going to see it's going to be some slow singing and flower bringing if my burglar alarm starts. So it's kind of a warning, I guess, to those that she's going to date. Like, you don't want to fall in love. Like, it's a mistake. You don't want to fall in love with me, you know. So a bit like self-deprecating in that sense, you know. It's a nice, simple production. Has another Notorious B.I.G. sample somewhere in there. Just a fun track. And then we get to Incense, which is a mostly instrumental track, a kind of bridging track 9 to 11. Here's Incense. Yeah, it's a bit of Incense.
Demonstrating why all these men keep falling in love with her, though.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm. Yeah. Like, how couldn't you?
Melt right you know? In. It's their funeral, though.
Yeah. Never changing, shining light. This is the return to life. Fill your cup with love and joy. This is the return to life. And,
Okay.
Yeah, find my earlier YouTube
your
version.
Cuppeth with her love.
So this is actually, I think, connected a little bit to the title of this album, which is, you know, Return of the Ankh. It says here on a quick Google search, the Ankh is an ancient Egyptian symbol which symbolizes the many aspects of life, including physical life, eternal life, immortality, death, and reincarnation. But yeah, I think that the reason maybe it's called Return of the Ankh is like she's kind of realizing all these things about herself and finding new life and kind of accepting certain aspects of herself and kind of growing from that. On the album cover, you can see that there's like the robot version of her and then like a smaller version of her kind of crawling out of that robot's brain. So, you know, maybe that's kind of
rebirth.
Yeah, a rebirth type of thing happening with her.
At the beginning, you said Questlove gave her a computer, right?
Yeah.
So would this be maybe connection with her having her own computer to like this robot variation?
It could be. Yeah. And like
the digital Eric.
But yeah, but also like the ways that she was able to kind of open up and let go a little bit by connecting with people instantaneously like that when
through the World Wide Web
she hadn't before. You know, been quite involved with that. And this also includes a
New
bit of
America Online.
Yeah. Well, I think this is later than that.
No, it is as much past.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, she got into the, like, it's like computers late, it seems, yeah. You know? And there's a bit of the comedic speech from Twinkle in the last album, which the comedic speech at the end is saying stuff like, I am the infinite blackness, the infinite brightness, the all awareness, forever establishing the field of truth and reeds through unifying the two worlds. Oh, unifying the two worlds. Maybe that's talking about the like left and right brain or something, you know? 'Cause she talks about how like the last album is her left brain album. This one's her right brain album. So, yeah, I don't know. There's got to be something there. And then after we light a little bit of incense in the middle of these tracks, we get to the track Out My Mind Just in Time. And we have three movements that I've clipped out for this. The fourth movement is instrumental. And I just left it out because, you know, I'm already taking three clips from this track.
Why not a fourth?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's watching or who's paying attention to this. I know Spotify is not a fan of me using samples in general.
Hey, Spotify, it's cool. Back off,
man. Yeah,
that's cool, baby.
It's all good.
We're good.
It's all good, baby. But yeah, this is Out of My Mind, Just in Time, Movement 1, Recovering Undercover Lover, Erykah Badu.
And I'll hang you too if you want me to. I gotta do my love for you. Driving
screws for you.
Painting red for you.
I'm glad you picked that clip because I remember the first time hearing this and then this couple previous after that, like whenever you get to that point, that like, it reminded me, it just killed me because I kept trying to think of like, why is it there? Why do they do this?
Yeah.
Did something happened originally and they thought it was funny, or is it trying to slow it down for something? Like I can't pick out like
why
it exists, but I love it. I don't know why I can't like let it go. It's
referring to, she says, I'll chop and screw for you, which is like a type of like production style, which is I don't fully understand what exactly chopping and screwing is within hip hop, but it is like something that you do. And basically what she's saying when she says that is like, you know, I'll do all these things for you. I'll like, you know, make food for you and stuff like that. But like, also like I'll chop and screw for you, meaning like I will change my musical style. I'll change who I am.
Got it.
For you, you know? And yeah,
that's saying a lot.
Yeah. It's really like,
without saying much.
Yeah. It's a real raw and like, personal kind of sentiment. Like, she does want, you know, you know, obviously we know that she's had a lot of relationships that didn't, you know, make it all the way, or she moved on, but like, you know, this is showing like she still very much desires that and wants that. This section also, I was going to say, this song in general, parts 1 through 4, really remind me of the feeling of In the Wee Small Hours, you know, how he's like just kind of going over all these, like, Sinatra's going over all these things that went wrong, and
his whole past
with different lovers, and how none of them quite worked out, and like he was, you know, but he still wants.
It's a timeless tale.
Yeah,
everyone.
Yeah,
will go through this a few times. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a very bluesy idea, you know. To you know, love lost and like unrequited and, you know, unfulfilled, you know, is a very continuous message in a lot of music. But yeah, yeah, this section is just so, like, we've all been there, I think, with someone where we really, really want it to work, but it's just not, you know, it's just not.
Sometimes it doesn't get you off the ground and they're just not vibing with you back. Like,
yeah,
just,
this,
you know,
is what we're,
yeah,
trying to know.
Yeah, it's just not going to work out. And I like how it says recovering undercover lover Erykah Badu, showing that she's kind of trying to move forward and, you know, grow through these experiences. And then this next movement here is, movement 2, I Am Numb, from Out of My Mind, Just in Time.
Summarizing up the album, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Referencing 10 Feet Tall. Oh, wait, it's 20 Feet Tall in the first track, but, you know, that's a reference to it. I think this one's kind of referring to a little bit of the, you know, especially with it being called I Am Numb, kind of that feeling of, like, you know, not having that love reciprocated. I know you. Oh yeah, here we go. Here's a good note. Genius annotation from Higher Calling 8 years ago. But it says, for the line, I know you, do you hear me? And it says, Erykah was in a one-sided relationship. Her interest in the guy was not reciprocated. It seems they spent a lot of time together, which allowed Erykah to learn him in and out, but he did not pay her much mind and did not see the depth in her. Yeah. So I think maybe again, this, just from the timeline, this has got to be Jay Electronica, you know, because she's this person that she most recently had dated. And in the previous section, she says, and now my common law lover thinks he wants another. So, yeah, she's just really feeling like that is just falling apart, I think, you know, and is kind of, you know, allowing that to, not allowing it to happen, but, you know, acknowledging that
it happens happening. And then you feel numb for a sec, you know,
yeah,
because it's just not really sure how to feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, back from the beginning, you're trying to like figure it out. Like, what went wrong? What did I do? Was it me?
You're in your own head.
Yep.
Yeah. It definitely does tie
it
back.
It takes a while
to
get out of that too.
Yeah. It definitely ties back to 20 Feet Tall, the track, because that's a little bit of what that's about. You know, someone, a lover that's built walls and is not, you know, reciprocating the feelings as you think that they should.
It'd be like Trump builds walls, feels no emotion for anyone else around him.
You're right. This is just like Trump. This song is just like Trump, Dave. You can take that to the bank. this is, you know, the numb section of that relationship, but then we get to movement 3, where she said, where it's called But Not This Time. So here's a bit of that.
Yeah, it's time for me to make some steps. Easy to blame somebody else. Hey, but not this time, but not this time, but
Yeah. So like I chose that line because it's important, because I think she's taking a, you know, she's taking some responsibility in this situation, as far as like, you know, love's lost and unreciprocated. Like she's saying, it's time to take some steps. It's easy to blame somebody else, but not this time. Not this time. You know, this time she's going to, you know, just take a different look at it and see, you know, what parts that maybe she contributed to or not, you know, because, you know, again, with relationships, it's always a, well, you know, a lot of times a two-way street, give and take, you know. And then there's a really nice line here after, but not this time, not this, no, 20 feet up out of the ashes, I can rise. So, yeah, again, kind of like the album cover is suggesting, she's like moving from this like robotic numb state to like trying to get out of that and to grow into, you know, a new person, you know,
new Badu.
Yeah. I also like this line, these lines here, round and round I seem to go, always had the antidote, looking for the Holy Ghost, found it in the missing note. Sinking in a holy boat, round and round I seem to go, which is kind of referencing a little bit of the last album. She's talking about how like hip hop is bigger than religion, and that's kind of more her thing than religion. Like she's a spiritual person for sure, but like really when it comes down to it, music is her religion in that way, you know.
I feel like there are like listeners and fans that when they like, they love music so much. They, yeah, that's my,
honestly, like I
sit down my stereo, put a record on, I'm going to church. Like that's,
you know, yeah. Yeah. That's how pretty much I feel too. You know, there's a good, song off of Rap Music from Killer Mike where he gets into that kind of stuff too. Oh yeah, this is church is what he says. And he's talking about all the different hip hop artists throughout the ages. And I completely agree with that sentiment myself. Like it's, definitely something that fills me with more joy than anything. And
100%.
And all religions have music and worship at the core of them too. You know what I mean? So it's not lost on the religions either, that music is an important aspect to all of this, you know?
Brings people together. Why? To sing and be happy.
Yeah, because it's just something that everyone can participate in together, and as unity and a voice together. Like
so old. I mean, just gathering, singing, right?
Well, that's something I like. So I went to India in college for 10 days, and that was the big takeaway from that trip, was like just how much of their worship was just music and playing and meditating with music, and how, you know, that's so important to so many religions. You know, like if you're going to church and like their music program ain't shit, like, you know, it's, you can feel that.
Just not as fun.
Yeah. I mean, I love,
not as fulfilling.
I love how boring Methodists are for some ways, but like, they also, like, the worship is pretty boring in a lot of ways because it's just hymns and shit, you know? But yeah, yeah. This is, though, like, you know, this is hip hop. Is where.
That's why when twice this happened, but when I meet someone that's like, I really don't like music. I don't play it. I don't have, like, they just have zero appreciation. Yeah. I'm like, I can't trust you as a human being. Like, how could you not have
fundamentally
one
broken
band or something? Like, what makes you, like, when you hear music, you're like so dead inside, like, I don't care about that.
It just doesn't, yeah.
You can't, it doesn't, a decent beat, you don't tap your toes, you can't nod your head, you hear something, and you're just like,
yeah,
I don't listen to music.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I really.
What broke you so bad?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Well, you know what?
Is it the devil?
Yeah, I was about to say call in if you're one of those people, but then I thought, wait a minute. If you're one of those people, you would not be listening to this podcast.
You don't even know what we are.
There's no reason you would throw this on.
Unless you know someone then I want to hear that story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you guys have a friend out there, if you have a friend that falls under this category, we want to hear about
them. I wonder
them.
How many people
and maybe
how
even
many people
interview
are out
them
there.
On the podcast.
We would love that.
So that we can please. Pick their brain. Because yeah, it does seem like a very bizarre thing to not like just not like music. It's like saying you don't like food or something.
I just be like, I don't
care
about
what genre it is. I don't care what it is. Like, how can you just not in general?
Yeah,
have a
we
preference.
Can't even have an argument about music. Like, this
like
is just,
zero
this is over.
Like, yeah. Ugh.
I thought my dad was like that for a while, but he just has his like particular things that he just really really loves.
And that's fine too.
You know,
that's human.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you had a period that you were into music.
You might still have like maybe once a month you get funky with something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, speaking of our love of music, why don't we get into our final segment of the podcast where we go around and find out what everyone's been listening to and what they have to plug. I'll start this time. I have been listening to a lot of connected stuff to Erykah Badu. I listen to her, at least most of her discography. Today I also jammed on Talib Kweli and Madlib's new album. They have an album together that's really good and in the, you know, conscious rap kind of vein. I listened to Lauryn Hill's Miseducation so that I can kind of like compare and contrast those things. And honestly, they're too different really to do that with, I found. Also Little Sims is another, you know, a black woman in hip hop that is one of my faves, and she has a 7-track EP out that's really really good that came out like 6 months ago or something. But so for me, a lot of female MCs for my listening today and last week. And as far as plugs, we have the video I promised you guys last week is out. Our 7th Wings video with my family out in California, where we talk about some of the worst songs around and eat hot wings. Mainly not that hot wings, except when we get to the bomb.
The real.
So there's a big, it's a different kind of hot wings episode. Just let you guys know that. So youtube.com/flowers.
Was that the finisher?
Huh?
Was that the finisher? You didn't come back down to a mile?
No, we made it number 8 because that's where it is in the lineup. And so like we took the Da Bomb and then the last two were just kind of like whatever, you know. It was a very strange.
You didn't move the goalpost, make it number 10?
We should have made it number 10. I thought that the Melinda's hot sauces were going to be hotter than they were. And they were just, these hot sauces were made to eat with things and not just fuck up your day. So, you know, it was really funny because like my cousin Megan came on after we did Da Bomb and did number 9. And she's like, this isn't that hot, you know? So she's just sitting there like fine. And we're all like losing our minds, you know, because she didn't That's do really the bomb. Funny. She just didn't do Da Bomb. And I was like, are you sure you don't want to do Da Bomb? She's like, no, I'm good.
I saw what that did, guys.
Yeah, I saw what that did to my sister, and I'm just gonna kind of leave.
We're gonna have a nice day tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. There was an audience. I had my family as an audience, so you can hear my aunt says near the beginning. She's like, I'll do it if it doesn't have to be hot. And it's like, well, that's kind of the whole thing.
That's the point.
That's the whole point of this. I mean, you just want a wing. We can give you a wing, I guess. But that's kind of so. Yeah, there's a lot of fun little interjections from my aunt and my cousins and all that. It's really fun. Anyway, what about you, John? What you been jamming on?
Well, I tell you, I've been enjoying a lot of the music that's in the Fallout series.
Mm.
And so I actually like took a little speaker that I had at. Sometimes I was alone in a room and I would just play some like 50s radio from Pandora.
Yeah, nice. There's some jams.
Some country
some jams in that, you know, Fallout universe, man.
And it's just, yeah, you got to admit, it's always real fun because it's like they put that music to like some of the bloodiest, glorious stuff, you know, and that's just.
Well, in the show, they use the music from the games.
Oh,
too,
I know.
So, like,
I know. I imagine. Job. Well, because like it looks like the world, you know, crumbled around 1950, so like ish. 60s
it
something.
It looks like, but like the skyscrapers, it tells a different tale. It's like a weird time they're in.
Well, yeah, it's like in their 50s, it got very futuristic.
It did. It actually depicts like what like we used to joke about, like, hey, in the future, we're gonna have flying cars and we're gonna have very like spacey like decoration or decor. Yeah. Like it had like a really different feel to it.
Yeah, it is pretty much like those ads about the future that they were making in the 50s and 60s, which were like,
it's gonna be swell,
retro future, I guess. Yeah, yeah, but yeah, so I'm sure you're gonna plug the show, right?
Yeah, sure, you know, watch some Fallout.
If you ain't already,
the Ghoul is great.
Ghoul is great.
Mr. Goggin.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Again, he doesn't seem to do wrong, Walter Goggins.
And you know, keep watching X-Men, and excited for Deadpool and Wolverine. Saw that new trailer.
Yeah,
Wolverine footage.
Fucking sick.
Looks great. Was very
It'll be
excited.
Fun.
Very excited for
yeah,
this.
Me too. What about you, Dave? What you been listening to? What you got to plug?
So there's a lot of random playlists of like my old ones I was going through because I was trying to make some new ones, but as an old one, they kind of like veered in and out of that, the one I gave you, the newer one I did, but I did listen to a lot of Stars and Metric, but also there's some artists I wound up on that place that I forgot about.
Okay.
Just because they fit kind of in there, but they're, again, like it was more of like a life story, like the time I was discovering, like interweaving in and out of the stuff, but
yeah.
Khaki King, I discovered that there was another newer album that I kind of forgot about or I missed. So I've been listening to a lot of her old stuff, and
yeah,
it's just her guitar, some of the early albums, but she's added, there's more of like a backbone. There's like more things happening now. There's like more piano, there's stuff and a lot of new tracks. So the old stuff is basically her and a guitar just doing more acoustic.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen to a lot of M83 again, and also Silas Shapiro and Beach House.
I need to research some M83.
They're really funny.
That's something that I don't know much about, and they're like one of the most talked about.
That's when I, again, long time when they first started, got in them and just loved some of their old ones. That's one of the ones I want to put on that playlist. But I forgot. You can always update it. You can always check it out.
Yeah. Got it saved.
That's what I had last week.
Well, and you recommended Pretty Girls Make Graves, which is
so good.
A band I've been listening to a little bit too. Yeah.
And so I want to
write my sweet spot of spacey guitar and emo-y kind of sounds, you know.
I want to pose this to some friends in a group, but what's like, there are so many albums that have like the best, what's the best like track one, side one, track one, like what's the best opener
tracks?
Oh yeah,
you're talking about that, yeah.
So for me, it popped that little pin in my brain, but the Pretty Girls My Graves, their first album, Good Health, that first song I think is called Speakers Push Air.
Yeah.
It is such a killer intro.
Yeah.
To like, it's. I think it's the best song. If you had to like, if I had to describe what this band sounds like, you play that one song,
mm-hmm.
get like exactly mm-hmm. what they sound like.
Yeah. I was really, really enjoying some of that. It's right. It's so up my alley, you know. But yeah.
They were amazing live, dude.
Oh, you saw them live?
Oh yeah.
Oh, cool. Nice. Oh my God, there's so many shows in the near future that I need to go. The Mars Volta and Baroness are playing one day apart, like June 12th and June 13th.
Are they both at the Sylvie?
They're not both in the same shows, but I have to basically.
Mars Volta was at the Sylvie.
I have to decide between the two of them essentially when they come into town. Like I'm gonna have to. I don't know what decision I'm gonna make. I kind of want to do Mars Volta. I've seen Baroness a lot of times. I love Baroness, but I've never seen the Mars Volta.
I think you should go see the Mars Volta.
Yeah.
I've never seen Baroness, but I saw Mars Volta early on where they did their first tour. They were playing with, I think, the Chili Peppers and someone else, and the Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, shit, dude. That's dope.
And then I saw them.
Wait, and Queens of the Stone Age?
I believe so. And there was another band.
Oh, my God.
And that was like 2001 or two, maybe.
Was that just the coolest?
It was pretty damn good.
Oh my God. That sounds like the perfect time to see all three of those.
The thing
groups.
That sucked though was because it was at the Alliant and it was not great for the Volta because they had some really crazy effects and it sounded shitty.
Oh, it didn't translate.
We saw him a few. I saw him a couple months later, maybe 6 months later, at the Barrymore, and that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him again another 5-6 months later at Chicago. I think at the Riviera. I can't remember where it was. It was another like old theater, but
yeah,
for France the Mutant, that was fantastic there too. So
okay.
There, if you have a nice, I think that depends on the venue,
mm-hmm.
but they
mm-hmm.
sound amazing. Like they're yeah. on, they're fantastic.
Not a stadium band.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just like not of the Alliant.
Not of the Alliant, I guess.
Because yeah, that, yeah. like, there's the effects that was going on. Like, they did some weird noises, like just really pedal effects.
Yeah.
And it literally sounded like spears just trying to jab into your head. I'm like, oh, God, I like you guys oh, so okay. much.
Too much treble, sounds like.
Because the first album was a D-Louse, just came out, and I loved
capital
it.
T.
We had to go see them. Like, they're like, this is not what it sounds like. This sounds bad.
This is bad.
If you
I
watch
think.
People had no idea who the band was, like, and they're just like, what is this garbage?
Ah,
like,
my ears.
Just buy the album, it's way better.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not representative must, of their overall work.
Yeah, it must have been a weird night. I don't know.
It was a weird fan base too.
But yeah, I'll probably be seeing them though. And yeah,
I definitely want to go see them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for all the there's too much music coming straight to Madison in the near future that I'm going to probably be spending a lot of money on shows in the near future. So I'm excited. Hope to see you guys out there at these shows. If you know what I look like, say hi to me. I don't know if there's anyone in Madison that actually knows who I am or anything, but,
Hit Nerds.
Yeah.
Tough to Mars Volta.
We'll get together and get some drinks beforehand or something. I don't know.
Or afterhand.
Yeah.
Or in the parking lot. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I love you guys. I'd love to hang out.
It's no candy vans.
No candy vans.
No candy vans.
Yeah, so that's been Erykah Badu, New America Part 2, and what we've been listening to. And we appreciate you guys for listening to us every week on this podcast.
Thank you.
You guys rock. You listeners, you. And we will see you guys next week, where we are going to be having on the band that I know the name of.
You'll fix this in post.
Fix this in post, of course. No, the band Lunar Moth. Lunar Moth is going to be on the podcast. All three of them are coming into the studio to talk to us about
the Moth Crew
album, so I'm very excited to have them in, and we'll hear all they have to say about the album that I also cannot remember right now, but you'll know next week when you hear it. Thank you all for listening.
That's a good night. That's a wrap.
Yeah, that's the best I can do, guys. Thanks. So we'll catch you guys next week on the podcast.
Love you.
Bye.
The candy fan can.
It's, what is the album?
Dirt. Alice in Chains.
Oh fuck!
Alice in Chains.
That's what they.
It's Alice in Chains. Dirt.
Holy
if you're still
shit.
Listening, bye.
The Album Concept Hour is Brad LeBaris, Dave Gallagher, and John Aker. Special thanks to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard for the theme music. Join the discussion on our Discord, tweet to us at albumconceptpod, or for everything else, go to linktree.com/FlyOverStatePark. See you on Site B. This is FlyOver State Park. You are clear to land.